read, and I want to read just a few verses over there. And I know you Sunday school teachers is probably excited about your lesson and getting that in this morning, but I guess the Lord just had other plans. And you know, the main thing is that we obey the Lord, and that really it's His service, it's not ours. We make our plans and we prepare, and any time the Lord sees fit to order otherwise, well, we ought to just follow His leadership. But I want us to read a few verses in Ezekiel chapter number 28 this morning, and you pray really hard that the Lord would speak to our hearts and have His way. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's page 870. Ezekiel chapter number 28. And I'll give you just a moment to find your place. And I will try my best this morning to be considerate of our time, because I've heard some long messages this week. Has anybody else heard? I was kidding Brother Greg, but we went last night and the preacher outdone Brother Greg. I think he preached about an hour and a half, and I'll be honest, in about 50 minutes in, I got to where I wasn't enjoying as much as I should have been. But I want to read a card from Brother Greg. He sent Brother Wynn and Mount Lebanon Church. Words cannot express my gratitude to you all for allowing me to be a part of your missions conference. I truly enjoy the liberty, meals, fun, fellowship, and hospitality. Thank you for the prayers, love offering, and all the nice gifts. Truly a meeting with great memories. We love you all, Brother Greg and family. So they sent that to be read, and I wanted to do that before I forgot. But let's read Ezekiel chapter 28 and verses 12 through 15. We'll read that, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for letting us be here today, for your blessings, for your leadership and guidance in our lives. And Lord, I pray for your help this morning as we look into the Word of God. I pray that, Lord, you would just help us as only you can. Lord, we realize we can't even learn anything unless the Holy Ghost of God opens our eyes, our spiritual eyes of understanding. Lord, I realize I can't preach unless the Holy Ghost of God helps. And so, Lord, we come needy people this morning asking, Lord, that you just speak to us and help us and have your way in the service and do exactly what you'd like to do this morning. I pray, God, that we could get the things of this world out of the way. Lord, that we could have a pure heart and mind before you today, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. We commit all the rest of the time into thy hands, asking that, Lord, you'd have your way. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for what you do. Ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verse number 15 again, and we'll get started this morning. If you're not familiar with this passage of Scripture, this is talking about the devil, actually, in his very, very beginning. And it said in verse number 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And as I begin to preach this morning, I want to say that I don't think I've ever got a message from a telephone call
But that's what got me thinking along the lines of this message this morning. I had a friend who called me earlier this week, and this friend that I'm talking about, he works with young people. He works with young people that are troubled, I guess would be the right way to put it, and he has a ministry. He goes, he ministers and teaches the Word of God, and he told me in the conversation the reason that he called me, one of the young people had asked him a question, and he wanted to ask me and see what I thought about it. And the young person had asked him, they said, if God knows everything before it happens, and he does. Amen. God knows everything before it happens. But they said, if God knows everything before it happens, and he knew all the bad things the devil would do, then why did God create the devil? That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. Why the devil, or why did God create the devil? And of course, I told him when he asked me that question, I said, well, it's like this. You know, that's a good question. That's what I told him for about the first 5 minutes as I was trying to think about it. You know, that's not something that you think about every day. And I don't know, maybe you'd have said something different from that. But you know, well, in my mind, some things had come to my mind as I was talking to him. Here's a verse of scripture that all you parents need to know, and all you Sunday school teachers and you preachers this morning, you need to know Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 29. It says over there, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. You know, that's a good get you out of a bad situation verse. What are you going to tell somebody when you don't know the answer? Well, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Amen. That'll help you sometimes if you don't know what else to say. And I thought about that first of all, and sometimes that is the only answer you've got. Well, I don't know. God knows. Let's just be consumed with the things we do know and not be worried about the things we don't know. Sometimes that's the good answer. Sometimes that's the biblical answer. Sometimes that'll work, but not always. Now, it is true that God created all things. We know that this morning. He created all things. There's no doubt about that in my mind today. And that does include the creation of the devil. But we need to realize this morning, the devil was not created the devil like we know him today. God didn't create the devil as the devil. The first name that the devil ever had, according to the Word of God, is the name Lucifer. Isaiah 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, and over there it's talking about the fall of Satan. It says in Isaiah 14 and 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That's the first name. That's what the original name of the devil was, Lucifer. But we find some things here in Ezekiel chapter number 28 and verses 11 through 15 about the devil when he was originally created by God. And there's some interesting things I'll quickly point out this morning just about the devil when he was created. We would say in verse number 12, first of all, and I'm going to quickly point these things out. He said, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We see there that the devil was the pinnacle of God's creation. It says there in verse number 12, thou sealest up the sum. When Satan, or when Lucifer, was created, he was the pinnacle of God's creation. There was none order in the, none higher in the order of all the angelic beings. Satan was at the very, very top, and God said that he sealed up the sum when he created Lucifer. There's orders of angels, there's cherubims and seraphims and angels. You might remember in the book of Jude, Michael is an archangel. But the Bible says over there that when Satan, or when Michael contended with the devil, he didn't fight with him. Because Satan is even over Michael, the archangel. And so God said, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I see also in verse number 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. We see there that his place was in the paradise of God. That's talking about the Garden of Eden. And I believe the devil was, not the devil, but I believe Lucifer had been somehow put over all of that. I believe probably we could summarize from the Word of God that Lucifer had been put in charge over all of God's creation. Put him there in the Garden of God to be God's, what we might say, prime minister or right-hand man in the Garden of Eden. That's been in the Garden of God, his place in the paradise of God. We see he was precious in his preparation. Every precious stone, the Bible says, was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, it goes on down. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. And we see that in his preparation, in his beauty, there was no creature in God's creation that was more beautiful than Lucifer was. When you think about the serpent coming to Eve in the garden, most of you ladies, if a serpent came up to you in the garden, you'd be scared to death, and I would too. But when Lucifer came to Eve, he was not a scary being. He was the most beautiful thing you'd ever laid eyes on. His precious in his preparation. Verse number 14, we see his purpose was unparalleled. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Cherubs in the Bible are associated with the throne of God and the holiness of God, and he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. His purpose was to be very near and over the holiness of God and to be at the throne of God. He had a purpose when God created him. And verse number 15, he was perfect in his ways. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. Look what it says. From the day that thou wast created. From the moment Lucifer opened his eyes, he was at the very top of God's creation. There was never anybody or anything that was higher than Lucifer was, save God himself. That's how God created Lucifer. Verse number 12, the Bible says, I'm showing you some things, that he had wisdom. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. That indicates to us that that Lucifer made decisions. He had wisdom. Verse number 13, he said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That indicates a history. Verse number 13 says, his tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared. That indicates to us that he had a ministry. And verse number 14, he said, thou art the anointed cherub. To be anointed means to be used by God. He had a use. He had a purpose. Verse number 14 says that he walked. The Bible said, that's been upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He had authority in God's creation. And he had all of these things until we get to the last part of verse number 15. The Bible says, till iniquity was found in thee. You talk about going down from there. When God discovered iniquity in Lucifer, he cast him out of heaven. Jesus Christ himself was there in the beginning, and Jesus said about that in Luke chapter 10 verse 18. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus was there. He saw when Satan was cast out of heaven. And he testified to that in Luke chapter number 10. And so God knew all these things. We come back to the question, why? Why create him in the first place if God knew every bad thing that he would do? Why create the devil in the first place? Well, at first that seems like a good question. Things would certainly be different, wouldn't they? But look in Hebrews chapter number 12. I'll give you the answer that I gave to my friend on the phone. And I've expounded on a little bit here, but I believe we can look in the Word of God and get an answer today. Now, theologically speaking, I guess this is probably the deepest water that I've ever treaded into, but I desire today just to keep it simple, and I believe there is a simple answer. Why the devil? Hebrews chapter number 12. If you turn in your Bibles there, Hebrews chapter number 12. Why the devil? I'm going to give you three little things, and I'll be done this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. Why the devil? Because without him, there'd be no cloud. Look in verse number 1, what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He said there, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what's he talking about there? Now, you could give several things this morning about what that cloud of witnesses was, but I believe in the immediate context of the Scripture, you've just got done with Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter number 11 is the hall of fame of faith. The heroes of the faith. The great men and women of God down through all the ages. And had there been no devil, there would be no cloud of witnesses like we see here in Hebrews chapter number 11. I mean, if there had been no devil, no doubt Abel would not have been killed, would he? He's the one it starts with. Abel wouldn't have been murdered by Cain. Noah would not have had to build the ark. Abraham would have not had to travel all those miles and offer Isaac up upon the altar like he did. Joseph would not have been forsaken by his family. He wouldn't have been cast into prison. He wouldn't have been brought out of prison. He wouldn't have had the opportunity to save his family, save a whole nation. He wouldn't have had the opportunity to save the family lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of that never happened. Read on down in Hebrews chapter number 12, many other things we could talk about this morning about the witnesses there, all the suffering, all the trials would have never happened. And that's a great cloud of witnesses over there. But if you take and put time between Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and Hebrews chapter 11, then you've got all the rest of us in there as well. All those that have died and gone on before us, they also make up the great cloud of witnesses. Do you know if the devil hadn't have been, we wouldn't have had to bury Preacher Carl on Friday. We wouldn't have had to have all the funerals that we've had here at Mount Lebanon in the past 10 or 20 years. We wouldn't have had to have all of that stuff. We wouldn't have had to take my daughter out and bury her in the cemetery up there. Wouldn't have had none of that stuff. Hadn't been for the devil. Wouldn't be no great cloud of witnesses that we see here. No one would have ever died, let alone died and went to hell. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Be a good thing, but I'll tell you something else this morning. Nobody would ever have ever been able to say either, I'm redeemed. You wouldn't have that if it hadn't been for the devil. Nobody would ever be able to stand up and say, I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm glad I've been forgiven of my sins. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have that great cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you something this morning. If you look over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's just a few pages over, keep your place there. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says something very interesting over there. It says, it's talking about the preaching of the gospel. And it said in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11, searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know what, this morning? The angels, we think about the angels. Oh my, what a grand position that they have to be able to go right into the presence of God. To be able to be ministering spirits in the world around us today. And angels are active in the world. They're real. But you know what? In spite of their glorified position of being able to go right into the very presence of God, whenever He needs anything or tells them to do anything, yes, they have access to heaven. But not a one of them can say that they know anything about redemption. That's why the Bible says that the angels desire to look into those things. I'm sure that it is a complicated question in the minds of the angels. Why God would save a sorry mess like us when He had all them and they're perfect. They've never sinned. But God desired and God created man a little lower than the angels, the Bible says. And God had in His mind all along that one day after He'd redeemed us, He'd exalt us to a position above the angels. And that's hard for them angels to understand. They'd really like to understand that. I don't understand it all either, but I'm glad I can stand today and say that I'm saved by the grace of God. And if it wasn't for the devil, you couldn't say that today. Isn't that interesting? Look over in Ezekiel. Now keep your place in Hebrews, and I should have told you to keep your place in the book of Ezekiel, but I wanted to read a verse over there, and I think this will help you a little bit and keep your place in Hebrews chapter 12. And I hope you did in Ezekiel chapter 28, but there's a verse over there, verse number 19. I was studying about that, and the Bible says over there, He's still talking about the king of Tyrus, which is the devil. And He said in verse number 19, He's summarizing, He said, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Look what it says. And never shalt thou be any more. Boy, I like that. You know what, this morning? There is going to come a day when the devil's going to be no more. And in eternity, there'll come a time after the ages roll on and on and on where His name will just about be forgotten about. There'll never come a time in all the ages of time where somebody won't be able to stand up and say, by Thy blood Thou hast redeemed us from every nation and every kindred and every tongue. There'll always be a testimony. There'll always be the trophies of God's grace as long as time goes on. And after time is no more, there'll always be somebody stand up. He saved me by His grace. He washed me in His blood. And so if there were no devil, there'd be no cloud. But I look on in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, verse number 2. If there's no devil, there'd be no conquest either. Look what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You say, preacher, why the devil? All I can tell you this morning, and I don't know everything, but I know this, I know that God does know everything. And God, in His foreknowledge, seen all the trouble that the devil would cause down through time. When God created Lucifer in heaven there, everything was perfect and wonderful and there was no problem. But you know what? It wasn't no surprise to God one day when Lucifer decided he'd be above God. God found iniquity in him. And whether there was a battle or not, I don't know. Maybe there was. But God cast him out of heaven at that time. He saw the rebellion in heaven. He saw in his infinite foreknowledge that there would be a day when the devil would come to Eve as a serpent. He'd tempt her. She'd give in. And Adam would give in and she was deceived and he willfully sinned and he saw in his mind that there would be a day where his creation that he had made and pronounced it all good, that there'd be a day when it'd all be ruined and the curse had come upon the world and people would start to die. People would start to hate each other and people would start to kill each other. And he saw all the rebellion and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah and the Tower of Babel and Nimrod and killing and wars and famine and death and people dying and going to hell and all of this stuff. He saw all those things. More than that, if you look there in verse number 2, he looked on farther and not only did he see all that, he seen there'd be a day. There's a place for him to come into this world. He saw that there'd be a manger. He saw that he would live a perfect life and be rejected of his own people. He saw that there's a tree that'd been planted somewhere and it'd grow up. And they'd cut down that tree and they'd make posts and rails and pieces out of a tree and that tree would become what we know as the old rugged cross. God saw it all. He knew there's a black day coming where he'd hang upon the cross for our sins and he'd give his life for you and I so we could be saved. And he saw that there's a day when he'd die for us. You know, we talk about the death of Christ. It wasn't really the death of Christ, that was the death of death. You know what the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 8 about that? God saw something the devil didn't see. You know that? When Jesus died upon the cross, the devil thought, I finally got him. It took all them years and I tried and I tried and I tried. I finally got him. He tried to kill and prevent the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when he corrupted Cain and got him to kill Abel. You know that, don't you? All that fighting, all that killing, all that warring against the Jews and killing the babies down in Egypt and Herod killing the babies when Jesus was born. That was the devil trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I got him. I got him. I finally got him. But you know what the Bible says? It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for that had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I'll tell you, when God saw a day that he'd die upon the cross, praise his holy name this morning, he saw just a few days after that where life would come into his body again. And the stone would be rolled away. He'd come out of that grave victorious and he'd come out and say, oh devil, I got your keys now. That's what the Word of God says. He had the keys and the power over death and hell and the grave. And so God saw all those things. And you know what? God saw your problems too. God saw all the heartache and all the turmoil and all the pain and all the rape and all the incest and all the murder and all the rejection of His holy name. And the Lord saw all those things. He knew he'd come out of the grave and he knew he'd have a crown. You know, God would still be king if he hadn't created nothing or nobody or no thing. He'd still be the king. He'd still have a crown. But what's a crown without a conquest? It's empty. Without a conquest, without a victory, and God saw it all. And all I know to tell anybody today, when I look in verse number 2, the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what I believe with all my heart this morning? I mean, that blows my mind to think about. Why did God create the devil? But all I know is that God, in His infinite foreknowledge and wisdom, knowing how it would all turn out, God decided, I believe it'll be worth it all. I believe it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. You know what? We are just in such a short little period of time that it's not even funny. I mean, we look at our lives and we think that that's all that there is. But I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that God will not be outdone by the devil. When it's all said and done, for every person that's died and went to hell, there'll be 2 or 5 or 20 or 1,000 that's in the presence of God in the new heaven and in the new earth. God will not be outdone. We're just a little period of time. God looked down through time and He said, I believe it'd be worth it all. I'm going to get the victory over this. And it'll really mean something. And then I look in verse number 3. Not only would there be no cloud and there'd be no conquest, but look in verse number 3. There'd be no contradiction. Now, this is interesting. The Bible said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There'd be no contradiction. What I mean by that, what it's talking about, a contradiction is opposition or opposite. Let me give you a good illustration of what a contradiction is. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a contradiction. That's a contradiction because this morning, we all know this. If you know anything, you ought to know He's good and we're nothing but evil in the flesh. Man in his very best state is altogether vanity, is what the Word of God says. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. He's good and we're evil. He's holy and we're unholy. He's pure. We're defiled. We may think to ourselves this morning, if only God had not made the devil, then everything would just be perfect. But you know what? You wouldn't know what perfect was. If there wasn't nothing to compare it to, if there was no contradiction, you just wouldn't know what perfect was. You wouldn't know what good was. You wouldn't know what evil was. You wouldn't know what a defeat was. You wouldn't know what victory was. You wouldn't know nothing. You know, that's part of what caused the devil to fall. He was perfect. And as Lucifer was there in heaven in the perfectness of his creation, and he looked around, everything was perfect, including himself. And he didn't see no way to go but up. You read over there in Ezekiel 28, I'm not going to go back. But you know what? The devil had a mountain in his life, but he didn't have no valleys. If all we had, that's what it said, thou hast walked in the holy mountain of God. Everything was perfect. Everything was fine. Everything was wonderful. There was no sin nowhere in God's whole presence. And the old devil got to looking around. Lucifer got to looking around. And there was a day that he decided, that's not enough. And the only way I can go is up. And he said, I will ascend above the stars of God. I'll ascend above the throne of God. I'll take the place of God. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 6 that he fell through pride. He fell through self-will. God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. God created the anointed cherub, and he, through his own free will, decided, I believe I'll just kick God off his throne, and I'll just be over everything. God kicked him out of heaven. The Lord evicted him, and he cast him out of heaven and away from his throne. There'd be no contradiction if it wasn't for the devil. You wouldn't even know you was in heaven. You wouldn't know nothing. Wouldn't be like it is. Wouldn't have been at the funeral other day and shout the victory, because we know there's something better than this whole world. There's a lot of things that'd be different, but I don't know if it'd be better. You wouldn't know what better was. I'm going to close this morning. I'm going to give you two things to think about. Number one, I want to say this morning, do not be an accomplice of the devil. Do you know what? God kicked the devil out of heaven because Lucifer wanted to be on the throne where God was. So God kicked him out of heaven, cast him down to the earth. Now, the devil's not a quitter like some of us are. He's still trying to do the same thing that he's always done. But see, his access to heaven is restricted, and he can't just get in there anytime he wants to. So there's another throne that he wants to be upon, and that's the throne of your heart. Don't be an accomplice to the devil. And let the devil be on the throne in your heart and be ruling you and reigning over you and directing your life and your thoughts and everything. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. He can get the place of prominence there. You say, oh, my mind's all messed up, my thinking's all messed up, and there's a lot of people, they think they know more than God does, and they hadn't done anything wrong. You know where all that junk comes from? The devil. The devil. Letting him have that place in your heart, that throne room in your heart. Don't be an accomplice to the devil. And then I'll say also in closing this morning, next time you wonder, when you worry and you fret, why this and why that? Why all this bad stuff? Why all this trouble in the world? Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you get to trying to figure everything out, it'll make you go crazy. Say, I don't understand it, preacher. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the contradiction of sinners that he had against himself. If you don't look at the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing will ever make sense. And you'll just be worried and go crazy in your mind. And I believe there's a lot out here in the world today about going crazy in their minds, trying to figure everything out. God's already figured everything out. He's always been one step ahead of the devil. He'll have the victory. He's already got the victory. He got the victory when he came up out of the grave. People say, oh, preacher, my life's rough. You don't know what I'm going through and what's happened to me in the past and all these things. Look over in Romans chapter number 16, and I'll be closed this morning. I'll stop this morning. I'll be done. I want to show you one thing in Romans chapter number 16, and we'll read a couple of verses over there. And we think about our lives, how things are, we don't understand. The Bible said in James 4 and 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's how our lives are. You don't understand. I know we don't understand everything, but you got to get the big picture this morning or it'll drive you crazy. We are just here for what the Bible says, a little time. Preacher Carl is 89 years old. You know what? In the scales of eternity, that's nothing. I'm 42, almost 43. You know what? In the scales of eternity, that's nothing. a little time. Just like when you blow a candle out and smoke just disappears. That's how our lives are. That's what the Word of God says. But I like what Paul said here in Romans chapter number 16. I get a blessing out of this. Let's read verse number 19. The Bible said over there, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." If what you think is too complicated, you can't figure anything out, then you just made things too complicated. This thing is not complicated. It's very simple. God said, the Bible said, "I'd have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Now, I like verse 20. "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That word "bruise" there, it makes me think of what God told the serpent there in the garden. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel." Yeah, the devil's going to have some victories, but he's not going to win the war. God said that, or the Bible said there in verse number 16, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." I like that. Do you know what that word "bruise" means? It means to deal a mortal blow. It means to crush to pieces. Amen. I like that. That devil ever give you a hard time? Praise God, his day's coming. His day is coming! And God will give us a little part in stomping his head. That sorry low down rascal. And all the heartache and all the pain. And I'll tell you, in spite of all of it this morning, I can still stand here and say, God is good. And we're saved by the grace of God if you're saved. And we've got a home in heaven, and one of these days we're going to get to kick him in the head. Well, that's going to be a long line. That's going to be a long line. You think you never got to get through the line? Sometimes when you go to the funeral home, you wait till we get in line to kick that devil in the head and stomp and bruise him under our feet shortly, the Bible says. If people's going to get right with God, they better get to getting right with God. The whole world's on fire halfway across the world. There ain't nothing taking place in the world that God doesn't know everything about. With Israel and Islam and the armies of the world and the falling of the nations and the economies and all coming together, if you're going to get right with God, you better get right quick. That trumpet's likely to sound just any day. Just any day. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here today,